This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
It's 6 o'clock and time again for Brain Matters, the official radio show of the UA Counseling Center. We are broadcasting from the campus of the University of Alabama. Good evening. My name is Dr. BJ Gunther, and I'm the host of the show, along with my colleague and producer, Catherine Howell. And in case you don't know, this show is about mental and physical health issues that affect college students, and in particular, UA students. So you can listen to us each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. on 90.7 FM, or you can listen online at wbuafm.ua.edu. You can also download the MyTuner radio app and just type in WVUA FM 90.7. If you have any ideas for upcoming shows, please email those to me. If you have any topic ideas, we've got most of our shows planned out for the rest of this semester. Maybe a couple of shows we need some help with, but I've got some ideas. But we won't do shows in the summer, and then we'll come back in the fall, and I always need some interesting, trendy college mental health topics, or we can do some of the basic, you know, I'm not opposed to doing topics that we've done before because things change a lot of times with treatment options and just, like I said, the trends, such as like depression, test anxiety, stress management, relationships, roommates. I've had a lot of students this semester with roommate problems. And, you know, I don't know, like it goes in spurts a little bit about what the topics are because we're assigned students randomly here at the Counseling Center. So it's kind of ironic sometimes when I have students who have similar issues. You would think that it wouldn't be a big deal, but it kind of stands out to me a little bit. Tonight, we've got a very interesting topic, one that, you know, in all the years that I've done the show, I don't think we've actually had this specific topic. We've invited the director of the Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs office here on campus, but we haven't talked specifically about how mental health awareness can prevent veteran and first responder suicide. We really haven't talked about first responder issues much at all. We have addressed issues with people who, like therapists, who listen to problems and serious problems a lot. And sometimes you can get vicarious trauma. That way we've had show topics on vicarious trauma. My guest tonight is Michael O'Dell. He's a former U.S. Marine Corporal and Warrior's Heart and Missions Director. How are you doing, Michael? Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Do you need me to address you as Corporal or can I call you Michael?
Yeah, you can totally call me Michael.
Okay, I wasn't sure. You know, some people probably would get offended at that because you earned that rank. So tell the listeners about yourself, a little more about yourself, your credentials, and why you're interested in this topic. I mean, it's obvious a little bit because you're a former Marine. So,
yeah, yes, ma'am. So I'm sure we'll get into the weeds of parts of my story and all kinds of stuff as we go through this. So just in short, I was in the Marine Corps from 2006 to 2010, and I served two combat deployments. First one was to Fallujah, Iraq, and the second one was to Ramadi, Iraq. And I was with 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, also known as America's Battalion. They're stationed out of Hawaii. So I grew up in Texas, Bandera, Texas, which is actually where Warrior's Heart is located. So that's really cool. But
that is cool.
I was.
Are you there right now?
Huh?
Are you in Texas right now?
Yes, ma'am. I sure am.
I should have asked you that in the beginning. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. And so yeah, I was. A lot of us growing up wanted to join the Marine Corps. I was the only one that joined the Marine Corps and got to get stationed in Hawaii. So that was super cool, right?
Texas, what are the chances?
Goes out to Hawaii. It's like, whoa. So that was cool. But I served 4 years in the Marine Corps, and I got out and struggled with mental health, struggled with PTSD, struggled with alcohol addiction and other addictions. And I struggled for quite a while until I found a passion and a desire to help people. And so for the last 8 years, I've been helping people recover from their past, recover from addiction, PTS, their demons. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've had the honor and privilege and pleasure to do with Warrior's Heart over over the last 6 years with Warrior's Heart. So that's kind of just a little bit about who I am.
That's fascinating. Talk a little bit, if you're willing to, can you talk more about the specifics of your service as a U.S. Marine? And in combat, even in Iraq, and boot camp too.
Yeah. So I grew up. So a lot. So some people, I think a lot of people across the nation struggle with mental health at some capacity, even if it's just, you know, maybe food addiction or phone, Facebook. Like there's addictions and mental health things we can work on that front. Yeah. Nationwide. For me, I started to struggle with depression at a very early age. I was about 13 years old for no reason. There was no reason. Had a good life. It wasn't anybody's fault. I just was 13 years old and depressed.
Happened. Yeah. I mean, life happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that is what got me on the wrong trajectory at that time. And then I started drinking and, you know, did all of the things, started skipping school, getting in trouble, all of those things. And to fast forward that, why did I join the Marine Corps? I knew that I was destined to do something positive and impactful with my life. And I didn't know what that was. But I did know that I have a rich family history of veterans, Marine Corps, Navy, Silver Star recipients. Like my family history is very decorated and patriotic.
Yes.
And I thought, well, what better way to change my life than join the Marine Corps, right?
Ooh. Boot camp. Oh, I mean, you know, when you were introducing yourself and telling a little bit about yourself, what was going through my mind is like, I always am curious, like you enrolled, I'm so on a higher education track, enlisted in 2006. So, you know, I've talked to many veterans who have come to Alabama, to the University of Alabama, who had gone, you know, they've been overseas, they've served their country, and they've come back to college. Whether it's a lot of our veterans actually are online students, you mm-hmm. know, distant students, I get that. But we have some who come back to campus, and I kind of tippy-toe around what I ask them, because you just never know what they've been through and what they're willing to talk about. But the boot camp part and the 9/11, a lot of the ones when I first started working here back in 2004, 9/11 is what spurred a lot of people to enlist and want to serve their country, you know. And then I would imagine, I don't know what can prepare you for boot camp. Like, were you prepared mentally for that? Was it what you expected? Was it worse? Was it different? Talk about the specifics if you can.
Yeah. So boot camp, Marine Corps boot camp, I'll say is the toughest boot camp to get through.
I heard.
Other branches will argue that and blah, blah, blah. They'll crack some crayon jokes, but that's only because they wish they joined the Marine Corps.
Exactly.
But
a boot.
But, I look at myself very differently nowadays, but back then when I was younger, I considered myself to be a very tough guy. Again, right. I struggled with depression. I was drinking. I was kind of a lone wolf, lone survivor.
Yes.
I had that mentality that nothing you can do can take me out. And so going into boot camp with that mentality, uh-huh. Helped me out a lot, because although it came as a shock, right, there was nothing that they could say or do that really that
stopped you. Like nothing stumped you. Like you've been there and done that a little bit, I guess. Or you were, it sounds to me like you sort of were mentally prepared for that aspect. Like,
yeah,
physically, maybe physically.
Totally. I totally was, both mentally and physically. And there's, it's funny. There's different mindsets. So much. So there's nothing anybody could say that I cared about. So they could do all the yelling they wanted to do, all the screaming, all the degrading, it didn't matter.
The tactics.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It was kind of like a game, and it was exciting, and it was hard though. Boot camp was hard. I had to be the most disciplined I had ever been in my life. The mindset around that is challenging. It's draining. And it's long. It's 3 months long, just daily, nonstop.
Where was your boot camp?
It was in California. Yeah, it was in San Diego, Marine Corps Base. They call us Hollywood Marines.
I can imagine why.
Yeah, they call us Hollywood Marines. But
oh, wow. Well, you know, unless you gave details or unless somebody's been through it, I really don't think anybody can imagine. Maybe some athletes, maybe some hardcore athletes might can imagine the discipline, but it's different because they're preparing you to go into combat. That's what they're doing. I mean, and let's do this, Michael. Let's take our first break. And when we come back, I want you to talk about the transition, if you're able to, about the transition from boot camp to combat and then back to civilian life. I mean, we hear about it all the time, but I don't really know. I've never really talked about that with many people, especially the veterans I've seen. Usually they're coming in for something else, to be honest, maybe struggling with academics, maybe relationships, and we don't really get down to it. And sometimes they don't want to talk about it. So I don't push it definitely. So
if you haven't talked to many people about it, then we will definitely get into it, and it'll blow your mind.
I think it will. Well, I am on a college campus and I am a therapist on a college campus, so hold that thought. We'll be right back. You're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
To Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about how mental health awareness can prevent veteran and first responder suicide. And my guest tonight is Corporal Michael O'Dell. He's a former U.S. Marine and he's the director of Warrior's Heart at Missions. I'm going to have problems pronouncing that, so just I'm sorry already. When we went into the break, Michael was talking about boot camp and how incredibly hard. I don't think anybody can imagine what you've gone through. But as far as like comparing the actual boot camp to transitioning to combat, can you even compare that?
Yeah, so there's a reason why boot camp, specifically Marine Corps boot camp, is so long, so tough, so difficult, and so disciplined. And it's because they're not training us for the Olympics. They're not training us
for fun.
I think that's easy, but that's not what we're being trained for. We're not being trained to, go in first place somewhere. We're being trained to go kill and defend our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Like they kill the enemy and defend Americans and civilians.
Period.
That are in danger. Like that's it.
I see it.
And to be able to do that, you have to have a completely, a total brain shift. Your brain has to start operating in a different way. An example is courage, right? Courage is doing what you need to do, even if you're scared to death to do it.
Yes.
Right. Like yes. That's what they train. I'll give you a little secret. In Marine Corps boot camp, one of the cadences, cadences that we would repeat over and over is kill, kill, kill them all. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yes. Yes.
And it was motivating and but it's to get you prepared for what could happen.
And I mean, do you agree that there are certain personalities that cannot do this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do too.
Yeah, there is, I think there's a branch of service out there for anybody, but there are specific types of mentalities and mindsets and behaviors that don't make it in other branches.
Well, and this may be giving away our secrets, but are there higher ranked officers who know, I don't know how to ask this, can pinpoint who would be good at this and who would not? And then what happens, you know, because I've had students in here who plan to enlist. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea. It's almost like they decide to enlist, not necessarily because they want to defend their country, because they are patriotic. It's kind of like, that's the only thing they know that they want to, you know, that they can do or something. I don't know. It's just like that kind of mentality. And I'm like, this is serious. If you're going to enlist, you need to know what you are doing.
Yeah. The recruiters are pretty well trained to be able to identify. And there's a job in the military for just about anybody as well. You know, there's mechanics, pilots, HR,
everything. Yes.
And so there's, you know,
a whole nother world.
Yeah, it is. It's a whole nother ecosystem. It really is. But the transition, the transition from boot camp to the real Marine Corps, that was even, different. Mm-hmm. That was different because now I've been trained and now I'm expected to be accountable to myself for the training that I received.
That's right.
So there's a whole nother level. It's kind of like when people go to treatment, like when folks come to Warrior's Heart for treatment, it's the safety net. We train them. We get them okay, stable,
yes.
Provide therapy, all the things that we provide. And then they transition to a different level of care or home. Now they're expected to be accountable and use the tools that they've been given and the training they've been given. And
That
is difficult as well.
I'm a firm believer though, and not to take anything away from great counselors, but I just really feel like in some circumstances, and especially with veterans and maybe even with first responders, we haven't even talked much about first responders yet, but I think a therapist who has been a veteran and been in that situation, I believe somebody who can relate to somebody like that, that's gone through that. That didn't even sound right. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Yes.
And I can speak to that. So most of what we're talking about can be applied to the first responder community, EMTs, firefighters, paramedics, police officers. There's different intricacies between each specific field.
Uh-huh.
We at Warrior's Heart consider all of them warriors. They're all of the same, whether you're active duty military veterans or first responders, because we've made a commitment to be in service to other people.
That's right.
And that's what, to us, that's what identifies a warrior, someone that is in service to other people for the bigger picture. Police do it every day and they face the same kind of stuff. Paramedics face it every day.
Yes.
Firefighters. I mean, it the list goes on and on. And it's the problems they see are treated the same way.
How about so fast forward, you were in the Marine Corps for 4 years, had two duties of service, right? Overseas.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
In combat, I'm assuming. How in the world do you transition back to civilian life? I mean, come on.
So I'm blessed to be alive today. I am extremely blessed to be alive today. My transition. So kind of touching on suicide a little bit, unfortunately, but it's
since that's the topic and we haven't even gotten to that yet. Yeah.
Right. So on our first deployment was normal, as you would say, a combat deployment is normal. You know, nothing really more to add there. It was Fallujah, Iraq.
Yeah.
Google Fallujah, Iraq, and that'll tell you all you need to know. Our second deployment to Ramadi, we had a young Marine. I was a young Marine. I'm still young, but this was 2008, 2009. We had a young Marine. He was our SAW gunner, which is a machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
And he took his life within 30 days of that deployment.
Ooh.
Why? Don't know. Ooh. There was no letter. There was maybe the family knows. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that this is when that happened. So something that we in the military, you're trained to respond to combat. You're trained to respond to people injured in combat, right?
Yep.
Like
yep.
You're trained, you're like, okay, I know what to do. You're not trained to respond to your brother's or sister's suicide.
No,
that's not something that was trained.
I would think you're trained to respond to people who have been hurt by other people, not yes. people who've made the choice to hurt themselves, you know?
Yes. And me and a few other folks responded, we found it, responded to it. It was very traumatic. Literally days after that, we were back on the road conducting missions as normal.
Yes, as normal.
We had a small memorial service, and then 6 months of deployment went on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came back home. And we're asked, everybody's asked the question, are you seeing things, hearing things, or do you want to hurt people or yourself? Everybody says no. Why?
Of course,
because
of course.
If I say yes, then I can't go home on leave. You're going to lock me up, throw
of
away.
Of course, yeah. You're going to be labeled.
Yes. So no, I have no problems. I want to go home on leave. And that's the stigma attached to reaching out for help. People don't do it because they're afraid of the label.
And Michael, it's kind of the same even here. Even here, I have had students tell me they're afraid to even express that they're having suicidal ideation or have had that in the past because they're afraid I'm going to put them in the hospital. I have to explain, this is how you get put in the hospital, you know, but don't be afraid. We will figure this out. You have to really kind of explain a lot because people are afraid of that. They're afraid of the reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. And after that, we came back. I made a decision that I had served my time in the Marine Corps. I was done. I did 4 years honorably, 2 deployments.
That's enough.
I was good, right? I was ready to come home. And so I got out of the Marine Corps, but I got out of the Marine Corps with a lot of problems. I was not okay.
No.
I had a severe alcohol problem, severely addicted to alcohol. And they do it different nowadays, but in 2010, they made me go to an alcohol awareness class, which, you know, those hour-long virtual trainings work really well for real alcoholics. They're just phenomenal trainings.
Shake the box.
Yeah. And so I think I was hungover in the training. I got out of the Marine Corps and those problems followed me. And one of the biggest differences and challenges was now I'm not a Marine anymore. Yeah, right. They
it's
say
like your once identity. What was your identity at that point then?
Lost it. Total identity crisis.
Yep.
And that's what our nation's heroes are facing every single day. First responders, police officers, firefighters. Yeah, think about this. Check a firefighter. Firefighter has the identity of a firefighter. It's their blood. It's what they do. They save lives. They live for it. And then they go home to their family they're not a firefighter in the home. Mm-mm. Now they have to be father, husband, caretaker, provider, compassionate. After they've just responded to very traumatic and grotesque scenes.
Yeah.
And now they got to go have dinner
yeah.
with their kids and act like they're okay.
It's That's very hard. Yes. And to compartmentalize.
Yes.
And I mean, a lot of us, even counselors, we do that. We do that, you know, and some people, but when you've actually seen a car accident where someone's died, you know, mm-hmm. you're right. How are you going to go home and play with your kids? It's just.
We at Warrior's Heart. So we have served over 3,000 warriors in our 6-week residential program. Our focus is substance abuse and also PTSD, survivor's guilt, moral injury. We can get into all of the offerings that we have at some point if you want to. But
yeah, let's go ahead and do that, because I want to know the details about, like, how is someone eligible? How is it paid for? What's the cost? I want to know the details about the program. Are there other programs like this across the country? Is there a limit of how many people you can take?
Okay. It's Warrior's Heart. We have two locations. We opened up in 2016. We have two inpatient locations, one brand new. We opened it up on 9/11 last year. It's in Milford, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And it's a 60-bed residential treatment program.
Okay.
And then we have our facility in Texas, which is a 100-bed residential treatment program. The criteria to come to our program is you have to have a substance abuse problem.
Okay.
Of some kind. And you have to be a warrior. That's it. That is all. And who pays for it? Insurance pays for it. There's cash pay, private pay options. For people that can't afford it, there's nonprofits out there that love to support our nation's heroes.
Kind of like scholarships.
Yes. We do our own scholarships as well. Nobody has ever reached out to us and then not been able to come to us at some point because of money problems. And we've never kicked anybody out because they couldn't make a payment or their insurance termed or the VA decided to say we're canceling their authorization. If they're with us, they stay with us until they're whole and ready to go home.
Is there a waiting list?
No, there's not. We, about 3 years ago, we had our 60-bed residential uh-huh. program in Texas, and we had a wait list. And we, as an organization from the founders down, identified that that was unacceptable for any of our heroes in America to have to wait for help when they're ready for help. And so we opened up another 40 beds in Texas, and we opened up a 52-bed sober living facility in Texas. And we opened up recently that 60-bed facility in Virginia. So we do not have a wait list, and we're able to help anybody that qualifies that wants help.
So anybody can make a referral or the person themselves can contact you guys.
Yes.
What's the website?
It's www.warriorsheart.com.
.com, not .org. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. And is there like a step down program after they complete the 6-week program? And also, what professionals are involved with the program? Are there psychiatrists? Are there therapists? Are there nutritionists even? You know, I'm thinking about when I first worked in an inpatient substance abuse facility, what was offered?
Yeah. So yes, we have our medical director that's over the facilities. We've got nurse practitioners, psychologists, psychiatrists, LPCs in Texas, LMSWs, LCDCs, CSACs in Virginia, social workers, and then all of our like client relations staff. And we also have our elective programming staff. So we offer full wood shop, full metal shop, a canine program.
Cool.
We do service dogs and emotional support dogs. So if someone comes to us and it's identified on a clinical level that this person would benefit from a service dog for nightmare mitigation, PTSD, anxiety, maybe diabetes, like blood sugar drop.
Yes, yes.
We train our dogs to be able to identify those things, and a warrior can leave our program with a full service dog, ADA certified.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. I know Catherine's holding her hand up for us to take a break. Let's take another break. When we come back, I want you to tell everybody how you knew you needed help. Like, at what point did you know? You didn't know this was going to be a therapy session, did you? Hang on, you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7. We'll be right back.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7. I'm BJ Gunther, and we're talking tonight about how mental health awareness can prevent veteran and first responder suicide. And my guest is former U.S. Marine Corporal Michael O'Dell, and he's also the admissions director of Warrior's Heart. We just talked a little bit about that program. It sounds like a truly amazing and much needed program, and they've got a facility in Texas and one in Virginia. The website is warriorsheart.com if you're interested and you're listening. And I'm sure there's other programs like this throughout the country. I don't know of too many, and to be honest with you, Michael, when I see students, a lot of times they're not even aware sometimes of what we have on campus here provided for students. And you know, I don't know if I should say this or not, but they've told me two things to not do on the radio show. Don't say commercial break and don't cuss. So I haven't done that yet. But a lot of students who I've seen in the past, they don't want to go to the VA. And so that's why they come to us a lot of times. And they just kind of have they just kind of feel like they don't get the treatment they feel like they need. And mm-hmm. So I'm glad we have something on campus to help them with that. But Warrior's Heart even goes beyond that, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, so the answer your question, there are programs in the nation that serve the Warrior class, but not like we do. We are special in a sense that we're exclusive to the Warrior class. So we don't have a separate program for veterans.
Yes.
We only treat veterans and first responders. So you can't just a civilian, even a spouse, unfortunately, we will help a warrior spouse find the inappropriate program. Absolutely. But they wouldn't even qualify to come to our program. And there's lots of reasons why. A first responder, here's an example.
Okay.
A police officer needs to be in recovery. They start going to meetings, AA meetings or NA meetings. They're a police officer or a former police officer. Mm-hmm. Can we really expect them to have arrested half of the people in the city and then go to a meeting with half of the people they arrested and then expect them to then share in the meeting about how they're feeling and process?
That's weird. Yeah.
They're not going to do it.
Ooh.
And so there's not a safe place for a first responder to go to in their hometown to recover if they're feeling that type of way, or if they need to be around people that get what they're going through.
Yep.
And so that's why our mission is exclusive to the Warrior class. And there's no other programs in the nation that treat the Warrior class like we do. specifically. They have carve outs and separate tracks and all that stuff, but nothing like us.
This is way more specialized. Okay, so before the break, I asked, how did you know you needed help?
Yeah. All right. So we're halfway through, so I'll keep this part super short. How did I know I needed help? So in 2010, I got out of the Marine Corps, struggled. We covered that. In 2013, my son was born. I was struggling, and I thought that having my own child would change my life. And guess what?
It didn't.
So then that was 2013. He's an amazing little boy. He's not little anymore. He's 10 years old.
No,
he's
yeah. Up.
But
at 11.
I thought that would change me. It didn't. In 2016, I went to prison for substance abuse.
Did that do it?
So I went to treatment before that, and I learned what I needed to learn to stay sober, but I wasn't ready.
Yeah, you weren't doing
wasn't ready.
It. Yeah, yeah.
So then I went to prison in 2016, and I finally gave in. I finally had the feeling that I can't do this on my own anymore. I've fought this battle long enough.
Yes.
I tried to take my life a few years prior to that, and I was unsuccessful with that, thank God. And so when I was sitting in prison, and here's what I was thinking. I have kids. Do I love them? I don't know. I'm sitting in prison. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. I can't answer that. If I did, I wouldn't be in prison.
That's right.
My mindset.
That was the mentality.
And then I had an honorable discharge from the Marine Corps, but I'm in prison. So what does that make me now? A hypocrite, a criminal, identity crisis. Don't know what
still
I am.
Still having it. Yeah.
Long time, lifelong alcoholic at this point and drug addict. And I've tried to do it all on my own. That's when I realized I can't anymore.
Yep.
And I made a commitment to change my life. I started working a program. I started studying and learning and doing everything I could to change my life. And my life has never been the same since. It's been a beautiful ride.
Why do you think, you talked a little bit about maybe the, I guess, embarrassment or not being able, like the police officer, not being able to get help because of the situation mm-hmm. that they're in. Why do you think it is so hard for veterans and first responders to reach out for help? Is it a pride thing? Is it an ego thing? Honestly,
I think it is a veteran and a first responder have essentially, even though they're alive, they've given up their life in service to their communities and to their country. The warrior knows how to serve other people. What the warrior forgets to do is serve themselves.
Yes.
And so people have told me my whole life that I'm the best advice giver. I give great advice, but for 20 years, I didn't follow my own advice.
Right.
I didn't care about myself. I cared about other people. And so the warrior class, as we call it, they're great servants. They'll die for you.
Terrible listeners, probably. I mean, no, they're probably great listeners too. I bet you're a good listener.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how to serve myself.
Yeah.
And so that's what one of some of our values at Warrior's Heart is service. Service is a core value at Warrior's Heart for staff and clients. We have to be able to serve others and serve ourselves.
Accept yourself. Yes.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing for me to serve myself in the greater good for me. That's not a bad thing.
Let's face it. I tell people this all the time. These students come in here and I'm like, you've got to have a balance, because if you're not balanced, you're going to fail. You're going to fail your classes. You're not going to do well. The athletes I see, I tell them the same thing too, because it's like what you're saying. And they come back sometimes and they say, well, that's so selfish. And I'm like, no, I don't call it selfishness. I call it self-preservation. That's really what it is. That's what you're talking about.
Yep. I like to, an example I like to use is So when I was living in my mess, I would help anybody if I could, but I was not helping myself.
Right.
And through that, I was absolutely not helping my family, my kids, right? I was helping other people, and then I went to prison. Was I really serving the people that mattered most?
No.
I didn't start doing that until I took care of myself, because then I was able to be there for the people that matter most. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not well, I can't help anybody.
That's right.
I can't.
Do you, I mean, you talked about your friend who took his own life when you were in combat. What about, and you yourself attempted, what are the signs? What do you think are the signs? I mean, I know the signs as a therapist, but is it different for, do you think it's different for veterans and first responders?
I think the signs are, it's kind of universal. And like even some of the statistics, right? Like 22 veterans a day are taking their life. We know that some statistics might tell you that it's a little lower now or a little higher, but about 23 per 100,000 veterans are taking their life. And then on the civilian side is about 12 non-veteran adults per 100,000. But you got to think about the different size and populations, not just civilian population and
That's
veteran
right.
population is tremendously different. And the veteran population, it's just tragic. And the signs are, I think, the same universally. Some of the big ones are substance abuse. And you know that as a therapist, it's substance
yes.
abuse. But depression, isolation, and then from what I have seen and experienced personally, nobody that has taken their life that I know personally, and there's quite a few, gave any signs other than they might have had an addiction problem. But there was no signs, there was no letters, there was no goodbyes, there was no texts that went out.
Yep.
It just did it. But what they did all have in common was alcohol or drugs. And that's why at Warrior's Heart, we treat substance abuse, because 99% of the time, if a service member takes their life, there's some sort of intoxicants involved. Same on the civilian side.
Yeah.
And if we can make a dent in substance abuse, then we can make a dent in suicide. That's suicide prevention. Get rid of the substance.
It's true. I mean, I don't even know the specifics of substance abusers and the statistics of substance abusers who are not veteran, who are not in the military or veterans, who take their life, daily. And I mean, I guess they're just trying to avoid feeling, really, mm-hmm. and avoid a lot of the, you mentioned nightmares, a lot of the PTSD symptoms that, hey, by the way, let me ask you this sidebar. Do you, at Warrior's Heart, do you know if a form of therapy called EMDR is used?
Yeah, we do it.
Okay. I mean, that is like a big one that a lot of people have not heard of. When I try to educate students who have been through traumas, they kind of look at me very skeptical. And we've had two shows in the past. I mean, the first one I had was years ago when nobody heard about it. And there was only one person in our community, one psychologist doing EMDR. And even when I had her on the show, I was like, I don't know about this. But after the show, it was really almost miraculous.
Wow.
The results for trauma.
Yeah, we do a lot of different therapies, CBT, DBT. But we also offer EMDR therapy. We even do, it's called MERT, but it's kind of like TMS. I don't know if you've heard of TMS, but it's a brain treatment.
Yep. We've had a show on that. Transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we do that as well.
The
EMDR we love, it's evidence-based, 8-phase. All you got to remember is when you rip them open, you close them back up.
Okay.
You got to close them back. You can't leave somebody open. You got to close it down.
No.
But that goes for anything, one-on-one sessions and everything. I mean, it's easy to rip people open,
Yeah.
Hey, tell me this. What's wrong?
And then you've got a real mess.
It takes a real solid professional to be able to unpack those things and then put the puzzle back together.
Okay, we're going to take our last break. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit. You've kind of told us how you're doing now, but I want more details, how you're doing now. And also, what does it mean to be the admissions director, you know, at Warrior's Heart? What do you literally do? And then I want to ask you about any other resources that you have, any books, any apps, any podcasts. Even I love hearing about all that kind of stuff. It's putting you on the spot a little bit. But when we come back, we'll talk about that. Okay, you're listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
This show is not a substitute for professional counseling, and no relationship is created between the show hosts or guests and any listener. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, we encourage you to contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.
Listening to Brain Matters on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Dr. BJ Gunther. We're talking tonight about how mental health awareness can prevent veteran and first responder suicide. My guest is former U.S. Marine Corporal Michael O'Dell. He's also the admissions director at Warrior's Heart, two locations, Texas and in Virginia. And it just sounds like a really amazing program to me, that if people know about it, you know, it's an option. How are you marketing the program? Like, do you market to college campuses even, or do you market to, are there veterans organizations that you can market to? How do people hear about Warrior's Heart?
Yeah. So we do a lot of social media. We do a lot of Facebook, Instagram. We do a lot of conventional and unconventional marketing. We do podcasts and interviews, just like me joining you on this one.
Yes.
We have a documentary on Amazon Prime. Check it out.
Let me write that down.
It's called Warriors Healing Warriors.
Wow.
And it's a 60-minute documentary. I think it costs like 99 cents to buy it.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. I might be in it, so check it out. But so we do all kinds of stuff. If you get on our website too, warriorsheart.com, and you go to media tab, there's a whole list of interviews we've done, podcasts we've been on.
Wow.
So there's a lot of
lots of publicity
resources there.
What about how you're doing now? How's your family? How do you still have to participate in any kind of, support group for yourself personally? Are you willing to share that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been sober almost 8 years. Actually, the 31st will be 8 years. And I am the admissions director. I didn't correct you.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Because you wouldn't know, because you have the information you have. But I also got promoted recently to executive director over our command center. So I'm still running admissions, but I've got a lot of other.
Ooh, cool, that sounds like a lot of work.
But so life is beautiful. I actually, when I got out of prison, I found out that I had another child. Okay. So I went into prison
with
a 2-year-old son. I came out of prison with a 2-year-old little girl.
Oh.
And in 2018, I got custody of both of my children. Well, I found out that one was really mine. And then I
That's
got
a whole nother show.
Whole nother show.
Yeah.
But I got custody of them. I've been with Warrior's Heart since, started with Warrior's Heart, just answering the phones and talking people through their problems.
Yeah.
And I still do that, among a lot of other things, but life is, if you I saw a post the other day that really resonated with me, and I want to get it right, but it said, in my addiction, I used to crave the life that I have now.
And look at you.
It couldn't be farther from the truth. Like that, when I was in my addiction, I wanted a better life. I wanted success. I wanted joy. Ultimately, yeah. I just wanted to be happy.
Of course.
And I did. I craved it. And it was impossible to achieve. That's how far away from it I was. You could not have convinced me that I would be who I am today. There's no way. I don't care how good of a therapist you are, doctor, medication, all the things. Like, I would have been like, ha, ha, ha.
Because it's all internal. You have to do it yourself. How, you know, you are a very transparent person. Like, I feel very free asking you anything just about, like, you come across as very transparent. How comfortable are you at being transparent? Because I think that's what helps you connect with these warriors.
I prayed when I was in prison. I prayed for the opportunity to be able to use my past to help people get through theirs, to help people get through their current, and through that to be able to provide for my family. So my prayer was that all of the BS that I'd been through in my life, I was able to turn around and create income for my family, provision, and help people do the same thing I did. And the prayer was answered. And so it is, I've been sharing my story and talking. I mean, I don't know how many times. It's what I agreed to do if given the opportunity to have a good life. And I've been given a good life.
And it's very fulfilling. You and I have that in common. It's very fulfilling to be able to help somebody else. It just is. It's like one of the best feelings in the world.
Could you imagine this? Like, you're struggling, even if you're like a college student listening or whatever, if you're struggling, you don't know what to do. And you're like at the end of your rope, you start reaching out for help. You don't know where to go, but you start, which, by the way, is a 1,000-pound phone. Like that is not easy to pick up.
No.
But you pick it up anyway, and you start calling around. And your life is falling apart, and you find a program that you think might be a good fit. You're talking to somebody, and you're telling them, you don't understand what I'm going through. I'm contemplating suicide. I recently was arrested. My family's falling apart. I might go to jail. I lost my job. And then the person on the other end of the phone gets to say, hey, man, or lady, woman, I just got out of prison because I was doing the same thing you're doing. And now I'm the one answering the phone for you.
I know.
Like, you can talk to me. I'm not.
Well, it gives you a purpose. Yeah, it gives you a purpose. Mm-hmm. That's the big thing. You know, Michael, this, I say this every week, but I was a little bit nervous about doing this show because I didn't feel like, you know, I don't know a whole lot about veterans and what you go through, because I am on a college campus and that's not my specialty, so to speak, even though I have seen veteran students, you know. But this has gone by fast, and this has been a really phenomenal show. I didn't even get to most of the questions that I had written down to ask you, so we may have to do a part two one day. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, we might have to do that. This is just fascinating. Any other resources before we close? Do you have any other resources for the listeners? Like podcasts, you mentioned Warrior's Heart has podcasts. What about any books, any apps even?
I would say for resources, again, you can get on our website, first of all, and check out some of the media that we have posted on the website. Even our Facebook. Our Facebook is Warrior's Heart. We've got a ton of stuff on Facebook. But what I would want to encourage anybody listening to this call, college student, veteran, non-veteran, whatever, human being, any human being
listening
to the call, if you're feeling a type of way, happy, sad, depressed, angry, anxious, addiction, whatever, suicide, whatever you got going on, if you're feeling a type of way, there is absolutely no shame in reaching out for help.
That's right.
At all. Had I not reached out for help, I wouldn't have gone to treatment, even though it fell apart after treatment because I wasn't ready. You got to be ready to change.
That's right. That's right.
But I was able. This is so cool. I did treatment in 2011, I think. I don't even remember. That's how impactful it was at the time. But 6 years later in prison, I was able to use the tools I learned in treatment to freaking get my head on straight.
Yes. Yes. It's amazing. You know, and let's leave with this, and I need to make some announcements before we close. But if you are a warrior and you're listening to this, you might not be a student because our show and our podcast can reach many people. Mm-hmm. You can call the Warrior's Heart 24-hour hotline. It's 1-866-955-4035. If you're a student and you're listening and you're worried about yourself or you want some help, you can call us at 205-348-3863 and check out our website too. I'm going to make some announcements in just a minute, a little more specific. But thank you, Michael, for being on the show. I really appreciate it. This is great.
You're very welcome. And I am absolutely open to part two. This hour flew by extremely fast.
Yes, yes, yes. It's great. Don't forget, our shows are recorded and podcasted on the Apple Podcasts, audioboom.com, and voices.ua.edu. You just type in Brain Matters and you'll find some of our past shows. There's also a link to voices.ua.edu on our Counseling Center's website at counseling.ua.edu. I always like to thank the people who've made this show possible. Dr. Greg Vanderwall, he's our Executive Director at the Counseling Center, my producer and my colleague, Catherine Howell. Of course, my colleagues here at the Counseling Center, Catherine Ratchford, she edits our shows for WVUA, and of course, the VUA staff, and my guest tonight, Corporal Michael O'Dell. And don't forget, next week, woohoo, is spring break. Thank goodness we made it, y'all. And we'll be doing a show after that, and that show is going to be, this will be fascinating, narcissistic relationships. I can't wait to talk about that. So come back and join us. Don't forget about us. It'll be 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Thanks again for listening, and you have a good night.
This show is not intended as a substitute for professional counseling. Further, the views, opinions, and conclusions expressed by the show hosts or their guests are their own and not necessarily those of the University of Alabama, its officers, or trustees. Any views, opinions, or conclusions shared on the show do not create a relationship between the host or any guest and any listener, and such a relationship should never be inferred. If you feel you are in need of professional mental health and are a UA student, please contact the UA Counseling Center at 348-3863. If you are not a UA student, please contact your respective county's crisis service hotline or their local mental health agency or insurance company. If it is an emergency situation, please call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.